talk from Oswald Chambers, series of lectures in 1917 in Egypt. This is the fifth and final talk that I'll be doing. What we have experienced in those who are in authority in our present system, whether it be social, government, religious, are those who have worked, or networking, they call it today, so themselves to a higher place on the scale than ourselves. There are two other alternatives. One, as one in Job's situation, would be quick to break away from all authority, or two, or a lesser man than Job would have become a philosopher and say, every man is a law unto himself. To be without any authority is to be lawless. But to have only an internal authority is as bad as having a blind authority. There must be a turning point somewhere in between these two. There are many of us that take the word of God that he said, quotation, therefore it is authentic. Authority, by essence, is moral and not superstitious in character. Eliyahu's contention is, because God has said it, thus, because the creed also says so, therefore, it must be accepted without question, as many of us do in these days. There are two kinds of rules. One, by the right of insistence or force or coercive means. The other is the authority of worthiness, to which all that is worthy in a man bows down. Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, and to open it and its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And verse 12 saying, with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power, the riches and the wisdom, the strength and honor, and glory and blessings. Honor to be lasting must be of the same order as that of Jesus Christ, by the authority of worth, to which all that is worthy in a man bows down. Eliyahu, until he was sure all would be attentive to his words, he says, I do not intend to speak until all bring out understanding of things, until the people are prepared to listen. Elihu's understanding is that the inspiration of authority came from God, simply because he is God and was not any sense of right in himself. His qualification is, he is God. Job stands up against this and says, in effect, I will not accept any authority on the grounds of superstition. I must know the moral ingredient in the authority. This is the element Elihu loses sight of, and altogether, as do those who are in the easy believing church and person. Let us pray. Our Father, God of all, Lord Jesus, Son and Redeemer, Holy Spirit, our Comforter, and all understanding, teaches us who are in need of understanding, direct us in our ministries through these understandings, that we might be a profitable person, that we may be profitable to you, Lord. In all our appointments, you have put in our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Job in chapter 33, 7 through 13, we're seeing that area of the book now. Elihu speaks, "See my terror, for I am only a fellow mortal, not God. I shall not make you afraid, neither shall my presence be heavy on you. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the voice of your words, saying, I am clean, without transgressions. I am innocent, neither is there any iniquity in me. But behold, God finds an occasion against me, and causes of an alienation and indifference. He counts me as an enemy. He puts my feet in stocks. He untrustingly watches all my paths." You say this. Elihu now says to reply this. "I reply to you, Job, behold, in this you are not just. God is superior to man. Why do you contend against him? For he does not give account of any of his actions. Sufficient for us, it should be, just to know that it is he who does them." Many of us are like that. Many of us go on the value of the name of God, and we don't know him. Elihu does not accept Job's creed or those of his friends that we spoke with on the other four sessions, but his belief is based on the conception that no man has the right to inquire of God's goodness. It is a question of supreme authority, and submission is the only road to take. Submission. Submission is in question. Are we, as Elihu, suggest to take his supreme authority and submission to it without question? Do you? Or in submission of faith, do you know the character of the power? As Job states, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust the fact that his character is worthy." Do you believe? Do you know? Do you understand that God is worthy, the character of Christ, our Savior? This is the attitude of faith all through. As he says, "I submit to one whose character I know, whose ways are obscured in a mystery, yet just now." This is the difference between fatalism and faith. Fatalism means my number is up. I have to bow down to the power, whether I like it or not. I do not know the character of the power, but it is greater than I am, and I must submit. The attitude of faith is, as stated, "I submit to one whose character I know." The question is then, how do we know the character of God? If you are truly a Christian, you have it revealed to you in Jesus Christ. "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Now, that's John 14:9. Now, if you have to ask, how can I see Jesus? You have not him, and you cannot see him. Anything that contradicts this manifestation given in and through the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be true to God, of God. Therefore, as a pure holiness of Jesus Christ is recognized, we know that the character of God is noble, true, and right. Therefore, any authority from God is based not on mere blindness or blind power, dictatorial authority, that no man has the right to inquire whether God is good. For it is a question of supreme authority, and submission is the only line to take. Now listen carefully, that you might not get confused from what I just said. It is dangerous to be conscious of submission to a spiritual power. The difference between fatalism and faith lies at this intersection. Fatalism means my number's up. I have to bow down to power, like I said, whether I like it or not. I do not know the character of the power, but it is greater than I, so I must submit. Now, submission to faith is that his character is worthy, as we said. I know the character of power. And this was the line Job had taken. Though he slay me, yet I will trust the fact that his character is worthy. This is the attitude of faith all through. And even though his ways were obscure to Job, confidence in God's fidelity is, he is saying to Elihu, I cannot submit to the fact that God has decreed such things as you say. You must give me more room to say that your creedal exposition of God is wrong. By your creed, Elihu, you proved me to be wrong, where I know I am right. Therefore, if the facts I do not know are disproved by you, how can I accept your explanation of the facts I do not know? Elihu insists that God does not explain himself, and you have no right to try and find him out. It is sufficient to know that the absolute authority of the omnipotent God has spoken. Therefore, you must submit. This brings Job to a basis of it all. I want to know where and what you call supreme authority. Supreme authority of the Almighty gets a hold on a moral line of things, where it agrees in part, at least, with that I understand as worthy. So that's Job's question to him. Why is it important to you and to I? What Job is working out in his mind and his conscience, why is that important to you and I? Let us look at the church, our church authority for a moment. Am I going to submit to the authority of a church or a book or the authority of a person representing that church? If the person, it must be demonstrated that the person is greater than I am on the worthy line. The line which is recognized as worthy by the majority of the same humanity. If he is greater there, then I will bow down to his authority at once. This is what Job is thinking, and this is what we should be thinking. That presence should be so much, that the presence should be so manifested that there is no doubt of the presence of Christ Jesus. Yeah, there. Elihu takes up this summation of Job. Your experiences are explainable on the line that you are a sinful man, Job. Not a hypocrite, as the others have said, but a sinful man, Job. And God is chastising you. You have spoken rashly and wildly, And this is the way God is answering you. There is a conception, not based on facts, Job, but one that dismisses opposition by emotion. Emotional presentation. Jesus addressed a similar situation in the same thought of blame giving in Luke 13, 4 and 5. For those 18 whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were more guilty offenders than all others who dwell in Jerusalem? This is Jesus' question. I tell you, no. But unless you repent, changing your mind with hatred for the past sins, you will all likewise perish and be lost for eternity. We must remember the standard for Christian experience is not experience of another Christian, but God Himself. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5, 48. He is saying the standard which by you should be measuring your experiences as a regenerated saint is the character of God. And this is what Job is aiming for. Listen clearly. There must be an authority which is internal as well as external. The tendency these days is to have no authority at all. I need not the church. No Bible. This I get in the hospital. Not God, nothing. But my own self-realization. This is modern religion today. This is what you go out and this is the people you're talking to. If one may say it reverently, Almighty God is nothing but a mental abstraction unless He becomes concrete and actual, because an ideal has no power unless it has been realized. The doctrine of incarnation is that God did become actual. He manifested Himself on a plane of human flesh. And Jesus Christ is the name, not only for God and for man in one, but the name of a personal Savior who makes the way back forever man to get into a personal relationship with God. Jesus Christ declares that He is the only way, an exclusive way to the Father. Needeth, knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he, whosoever the Son, will reveal Him to. Matthew 1:27. Any theology which ignores Jesus Christ as a supreme authority causes to be Christian theology. Who ignores Jesus Christ as supreme authority ceases to be Christian theology. John 14:6 tells us, I am the way. Heads up, you churches who say we must be tolerant of other people's beliefs, that there are many ways to the Father other than Christ Jesus. You are no longer a messenger of the Christian theology. It tells us in our Bible, if you read it thoroughly. But lovers of self, that's what they are. 2 Timothy 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. We're in them. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slandering, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, we're told, turn away. Don't have nothing to do with them. No matter how pleasant they seem to be, how morally they seem to act, turn away. The only thing you want to give them is the message of the gospel. We must be careful that we consider our relationships to Christ not by our works in the church or personal creed, which always are faulted. Not to accept scriptures blindly, but to read them in the light of the personal relationship to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Come unto me," Matthew 11:28. And if you want to know whether my teaching is of God, do His will. Job will not accept anything blindly. He says, "I must see that it does not contradict what I know." Paul speaks of the foolishness of God as pitted against the wisdom of man. And the wisdom of men, when it saw Jesus Christ, said, "That cannot be God." The Judaic priests, when they saw Jesus, they said, "That cannot be God. You are a blasphemer. You do not express God at all." There were only two who recognized Jesus was besides his mother and his father. They were Anna and Simeon. These two descendants of Abraham recognized an infant. All people that met him before this ministry, his ministry, if those two, these two who lived a life of communion with God could detect Jehovah as the babe of Bethlehem, within the symbolism, the others who did not recognize him, are they not to be condemned? Are not many in the same position today? They had a Star of Bethlehem. They had an angel announcing a mass of singing going on. The arrival of the Magi. Should not there have been many in the synagogue on the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th, the 9th day, looking for this babe to be circumcised? This babe was to be the Messiah, according to Scripture. Don't condemn them. For we have the cross and the resurrection, the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. All witnessed. All signs are real, in place. But what do we experience? A falling away. Look at our assembly this morning. Half of the people that usually come aren't here. Why? Well, we have excuses. We can legitimize ourselves. We do. But can we legitimize it to Christ, who died on the cross for us? Perhaps not. The true way to get to God is through conscience. Now I'm going to lay it on you. Because through conscience we get the moral relation of things. Job would not bow to authority, which he did not have the right basis in actual life. God had to know to clear himself. He had to know God to clear himself from the wrong presentation that was given to him by his friends. He had to clear that. The presentation they did in their creeds told Job, "This is not the God that I know." Some of Job's problems could also have been God's rebuke of him for remaining too much of an agnostic. And he leads himself along the line indicated when he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Job 38:1. Then the Lord answered to Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a man, for I will demand thee of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? And so on. God's appeal is to both Job and Elihu on the basis of their actual knowledge. And while being true to the facts they know, they do not leave room for the facts that they do not know. Gird up your loins like a man. In today's vernacular, stand up like a man. Here God disposes altogether of our relationship to Him, self-born of superstitious dread, which blocks us from that personal relationship. Now listen to the facts as they are true, they truly are. He says, well, Job, you did right that God should not be misrepresented. But you must recognize there are many facts you do not know. I will give to you a revelation of them on the grounds of your moral obedience. The only reality in life is moral reality. It is not intellectual. It is not aesthetic. Religion is based on intellectualism, becomes purely creedal. Jesus Christ is not needed in it. The intellect does not get us into reality. Neither does emotions alone. But the conscience does, as soon as it relates itself to these two, it does become a relationship. Then Job answers the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thing can be withheld from thee. Job's faith is rehabilitated, as with many other things that he lost. His faith by a personal relationship to God, as all the elect who are separated from him now will be by personal relationship. To a personal God, but never in thinking or feeling. We are so businesslike in our lives that it overflows into our faith with God as we treat it as a check based purely on our calculations. But religious faith cannot be illustrated by that kind of faith we exhibit in life. Faith in God is a terrific adventure. I can tell you so because I've experienced it and am experiencing. A terrific adventure in the dark. I have to believe that God is good in spite of all the contradiction in my experiences. It is not easy to say that God is love, 1 John 4:8, when actually everything that happens gives the lie to it. Everybody's soul represents some kind of battlefield as I go about my work. The point for each one is whether we hang on, as Job did, and say, though things look black, I will trust God. There's a great difference between Christian experience and Christian faith. The danger of experience is that our faith is made to rest on it, instead of seeing that our experience is simply a doorway to God Himself. Christ's faith
That's what we're headed for. Not our faith. Ours is frail and perfect. His is full and complete. Lacks nothing. Many of us have not found true religion because evangelical Christianity has been stated in such a flimsy way. We get to the truth through life and personality, not by logic and scientific statements. Therefore have I uttered that I understand nothing too wonderful for me, which I know not. Job 42:3. That is the way Job uses men. That's the way God uses men when they are rightly related to Him. He conveys His real presence as a sacrament through their commonplace lives. What is truth? John 18:38. I am truth. John 14:6, said Jesus. Sin is not man's problem, but God's problem. And God has taken the problem of sin into His own hands and solved it. And proof of that is the cross of Calvary. The cross of God on the ground of redemption can wash my robe and make it as white as snow in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:14. That is the exposition of the redemption in actual experience. Because one alters his life, it does not necessarily mean that he has repented. He might suddenly stop all his evil ways simply because it's too taxing, physical, emotionally, and financially imprudent. The solid footing Christianity is repentance, repentance, repentance. Christianity does not consist of telling the truth or walking a conscious way or adhering to principles of Christianity is something more than that, is adhering to an absolute surrender to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. Christianity is an absolute surrender. Job 42:10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Remember, when Job prayed for his friends, God emancipated him. Pray for your friends, and God will release you from your captivity. The freedom comes as you intercede for them. It is a mere reaction. It is the way God works. So then, get to work. Start praying. And God will get a chance with other lives. You do not even need to speak to them. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You can always be sure of the man who has been through suffering, but never of the man who has not. And no man has ever suffered as great as Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the life of Job. We thank you for his friends, Lord, as wrong as they may be. For, Lord, we see ourselves in there. We need to be corrected. We need to take our creeds and analyze them and see who really, at the end of it, is it the true Christian belief of Jesus Christ? Or is it a belief that we made, Lord, that makes it very convenient and easy for us? Oh, Lord, may those that hear this change their hearts, turn them away from their self-centeredness and turn them towards you, Lord. Allow them to bring forth all that which turns them, Lord, in repentance, that they too might be restored to you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.